the Uber ruling. Does it impact IT services providers? So I went to an expert, Bradley Gross, who's a lawyer specializing in IT services and MSPs, joins us for this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. I covered the Uber security story where their former security chief was found guilty of, of federal charges around his related to, his disclosures around a breach. But I figured because this is kind of one of those stories that probably is going to resonate for anybody in the security space, let's talk to an actual lawyer to give us some interpretation of the case. Walk us through your interpretation of the ruling.
So, what happened in that particular case was not a surprise to anyone who follows this type of law and is involved in this type of law. Essentially, it involved somebody who tried to cover up a breach and lied about it and was subsequently discovered to have lied about it. And that's what he was found guilty of. He was found guilty of interfering or lying to the Federal Trade Commission about the 2006 breach of Uber. And he was also found guilty of something called misprison. So misprison is a lot of people are going to hear misprison and they're already starting to Google it. Misprison is a very rarely used crime. And it's usually only brought against government officials or people of high position and trust. And what it involves is the concealment of a felony, not just knowing about a felony and not reporting it or doing something to let others know about it, although that's the textbook version. In reality, that is brought when a government official or someone of high position or trust knows about a felony and then does something actively to cover it up, which is what the government alleged in this particular case. That's what he was found guilty of.
So what are we getting wrong on the interpretations? Because when I read the coverage, I'm seeing people talk about the fact that, well, he kept management informed. They were involved in the decision, yet he was found personally liable. What subtlety are we missing here?
Well, first of all, there are two different aspects of what you just said. He was found personally liable, okay, and that he kept management informed. As far as personal liability is concerned, let's start with that one. You cannot hide behind the shield of the corporate setting as a director of an officer if you lie or acts outside of the quote corporate purpose. And that is essentially what they're saying, what the complaint says that was brought against him. He sat before the FTC. He was under oath. He was required as part of that process to keep the FTC informed, to continue to provide ongoing testimony or ongoing facts. And after he testified under oath, and again, it's a continuing duty, the allegations were that he failed to update the FTC. He failed to continue to provide them information, even though he was required to do it, and he was required to do it under oath. So that aspect of what he did, obviously the jury found that to be exactly what he did, that will impose personal liability. So that's why he's being charged as opposed to just the company. He wasn't acting on behalf of the company when he, according to the jury, intentionally withheld information and intentionally concealed things. Okay. So that's the personal liability. As far as keeping management updated, well, That really goes to how you're going to what amount of credibility that you're going to give to his defense. His defense was, yes, we knew about this breach, but we treated it just as our normal bug program, where people can report bugs to us and we'll give them a reward, white hat hackers, if they discover something we didn't know. And we were just treating it as that. And if that was the case and the facts bore that out, well, maybe he would have had a valid defense. But as per the allegations from the investigating officer, the FBI, it's an interesting read, by the way. You could find it online. It was more than that. It wasn't just simply, oh, this is a bug. This was something that happened. This was something that was treated outside of the normal bug program. This was something that certainly was similar to, if not exactly like, the hack that had happened 2 or 3 years earlier. And when the FTC, you know, stepped in and said, you have to keep giving us information as part of the 2014, you have to give us more information relevant to all this, he didn't say a word. And this was in exact alignment. This was a very similar situation to what happened in 2014. So the FTC said, well, this is, you know, you have an ongoing duty to talk to us and you're not talking to us. That was the problem. So he was charged with interfering or basically concealing the facts in the FTC case. And then that concealment itself led to misprison.
Okay, now that's interesting that you've said a couple of stuff about the concealment. And additionally, you've also said that you weren't surprised by that. Now, when I read a bunch of coverage coming out of the security community, they seem very surprised. What are they missing? what's the surprise over the security side causing such a disconnect?
All right. So first of all, I'm not surprised because my background was a prosecutor, both in New York and down here in Florida. So I've seen this case from the criminal side, and I've also seen it from the civil side. So right off the bat, my experience, you know, as I'm reading the facts and what happened in the affidavit submitted by the FBI, I'm thinking, yeah, this is where it's going. He's going to go down if a jury believes them. And clearly the jury did believe the government. What the security sector is missing is that this is somebody who was under an active affirmative duty to update the FTC about this type of incident. It's one thing if a company is breached, then they have to follow the breach notification laws of the state. And assuming they do so, everything is fine. That's scenario one. That's where most companies find themselves. But we are not in scenario one. We are in scenario two. Scenario two is where the FTC was conducting an active investigation. They sent a CID, they sent a civil investigative demand to the company. He had testified under oath in front of the Senate. He had continuing obligations to keep the Senate informed about all these, this type of incident. And in fact, he was served with additional discovery after his testimony and after he knew about the 2016 breach and didn't disclose it at the time. So this is not a case where a company is just doing what it has to do, conducts its due diligence, acts under the data notification breach. And that's all. This was a guy who was taking on the responsibility of testimony and failed to provide it when he was supposed to. So I don't think that this is a warning shot or some ominous signal to information technology professionals that the government is coming after you. We're coming after you. No, that's not what it is. It is a reminder that you have to follow the law. You have to follow the law. If you're not under a civil investigative demand, then you don't have to talk to the Senate about it, or the FTC rather. But if you are under one, then you have to. And if you don't, that's a problem. That's not 99.9% of the situations that are out there today.
All right. I want to pull something from the Washington Post because they interviewed John Johnson, who's listed as a virtual chief information security officer. And this is actually one of the reasons why this got a lot of my attention, right? Because a virtual chief information security officer sounds an awful lot like an outsourced IT provider, thus connects very closely to the IT services and MSP space. And the quote he gave was, your company leadership could make choices that can have very personal repercussions to you and your lifestyle, he said. Not saying everything Joe did was right or perfect, but we can't bury our head and say it will never happen to us. What's your reaction to that positioning?
That's very doom and gloom, and it's very soundbite-ish. So I get it. I understand why it made the newspaper. But in reality, I think it sends the wrong message in many ways. In some ways, it's correct. Look, if a company requires you to do something illegal or improper, then it can have a very personal effect. You can be held responsible because you knew or should have known what you were doing was illegal. I get it. But putting aside the situation where a company demands that you do something illegal, you know, in this case, that didn't happen. this Uber case is not a demonstration that comports or falls into alignment with the quote that you just said. In this case, Sullivan took it upon himself to cover things up. In fact, again, reading the affidavit from the FBI and their investigation, it was revealed that when the CEO asked questions about the 2016 incident, Sullivan decided on his own to downplay it. This was not the CEO saying, listen, I want you to cover this up. And that could have very personal impact, like you just, you know, in alignment with what you just said. This was not that. This was Sullivan taking it on his own to start covering things up. And when the CEO said, how bad is it? It's not bad. It's not so bad. You know, this is somebody who just was kind of almost a rogue player in the company. So again, I don't want to diminish the fact that if a company makes you or requires you to do something illegal, well, one, you shouldn't, but two, it certainly would have personal ramifications. This was not that.
So it sounds to me like the big takeaway here is kind of two parts. The first is the headline of, obviously, if you break the law, they're coming for you, right? But the and that feels like the obvious one that we can just sort of nod to. But the second bit is the bit that I think is more useful, and is the you need to be very proactively transparent during both of your two examples, right? You outlined the big 99% of cases are going to be the ones that aren't being actively investigated, and you're going to need to be transparent. And then, by the way, in the ones that are being investigated, then that becomes even more important to be as transparent. Is that the right takeaway? And what advice?
I agree. I think that's exactly the takeaway. I think you're right. I think that the cover-up is always worse. I mean, we can go back to, let's take it out of this context. Let's just go back to Nixon, okay, and Watergate. The cover-up was far worse than what actually happened. You know, historically, if you look back, you scratch your head and you say, why are they covering this stuff up? Just, you know, did he think that because there was a hack that people would stop using Uber? Is that what you thought? I mean, how many companies in this country, in this world, have been hacked? I mean, serious hacks. Do we still go to Walmart? Do we still go to Target? Do we still go to, I mean, you know, pick your company that's been hacked. I think that the people have almost become a bit jaded to it. And I just scratch my head going, why are you covering this up? Why don't you just come out, admit it? And I think that that's the situation here.
So let's make this practical with a pair of questions then. So for IT services delivery people, those people that are delivering technology services in any kind of outsource capacity, and I'm intentionally using that broader than just MSPs, because this feels like this is that whole realm of anybody delivering from outside. What's the advice you're giving in either in general or specifically in response to this case, the way they should think about their legal liability and the way they should engage their customers?
Transparency and honesty. Two words, transparency and honesty. That's it. The cover up, first of all, you shouldn't cover up. There's a moral issue, obviously, that we could talk about, but it's pretty a moral and ethical one. Putting that aside, the cover up is always worse than the situation at hand. Transparency and honesty.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask a second question that's a bit specific here. It feels like the use of the idea of chief information security officer, or extended a virtual chief information security officer comes with implications. Is that dangerous? Is that something you're advising providers to be using or not using? What's the positioning and the way they should talk about this that makes it a good outcome for both sides?
Well, is your question that when a company takes on a VCIO, right, virtual chief information or privacy or security officer, are you asking, should they refrain from doing that? Are there, should they hesitate?
I am, and I'm specifically asking about the title Chief Information Security Officer.
CISO. Okay.
Well, because I think a CISO is different than a CIO or a CTO,
for sure,
which comes with different bits. So I'm specifically thinking about virtual Chief Information Security Officer. Mm-hmm. What's your take on adopting that phraseology?
I love it. I think the company is needed. I think it's accurate. I think, it's an accurate description of what the person does. I think that people who refrain from doing it because they're scared that if something happens, they'll be blamed are running their business and their lives by fear. It shouldn't be that way. Again, transparency and honesty. There, somewhere along the line, somebody told these people that, you could get in trouble if something happens, that you're going to be liable if something happens. And I don't know who told this or who pushed this, that agenda out there, but it's simply not true. If you're acting as a professional in, you know, using professional judgment and, you're using solutions and solution sets that are at least industry standard, if not higher, well, things happen. There is no necessarily, there is no a per se breach of a duty of care if you are in that position and something happens. Where the breaches occur is the cover up, is the lying about it, is the hedging of providing information. That's when you get into trouble. That's where the liability sits, and that can have personal ramifications, literally personal. But I think that people who refrain from entering into that area because they're worried about liability and see the government comes after you personally are conflating two very different things, right? They're conflating a situation where somebody actively concealed facts from the company for which he worked, right? That's one end, and normal everyday kind of things happen, security incidents happen, and you treat them in the normal course of business. You can't put these two things together. They're very separate.
Okay, got it. Now, I want to push on something that you just said, because you talked about be professional, implying a professional standard. Now, in technology, that isn't a, I'm going to put in quotes, regulated industry, the way, for example, CPAs are regulated or doctors are regulated or lawyers are regulated, right? Like there is an actual certification process that goes along with that. But in technology, there isn't at the same level. So I'm going to ask, like, well, what is that standard, right? How do you measure against that to make sure you're doing it right when it isn't regulated?
There's nothing codified.
Right. Yeah, it's not codified.
Just because something is codified doesn't mean there aren't any standards. It just means that the legislature hasn't figured out how to standardize it, so they haven't required it of the industry. And in fact, it's probably another topic we could talk about. Should there be regulation, right?
That's a whole other topic. Let's just talk right now about the current
state. We'll lean back and we'll talk about that for an hour. But, you know, just because there's no codification of it, there's no legislation on it, doesn't mean there are no standards. It means that a professional is supposed to act in a manner reasonable and appropriate for the position of trust in which he or she has been placed. That's it. So I understand in that definition, there's going to be a lot of gray area and a lot of ambiguity and vagueness. I get it. But if you're going to say, is there any standard? Yeah, it's commensurate with the responsibility and the tasks of the position in which this person has been placed. I think that covering up, concealment and so forth would always violate that standard. You know, we could argue about what duties and obligations fall under that standard, right? That's what lawyers and litigators do. But lying and concealing, right, and not and actively taking steps to obscure scenarios from the company for whom you work, I guarantee you that will always be a violation of that standard. And that's what we saw here. That's exactly what we saw here.
So I think in summary, and I want to ask you, like, so do you think this changes anything in the state of play for those delivering IT services right now?
No, I think it's a no, the answer is no. Longer answer, I think it's a reminder to people in positions of trust, especially IT professionals, that they have to do the right thing, that they should not take it upon themselves to make decisions about what is good for the company, what isn't good for the company, what facts should I disclose, how should I marshal things together to present them. That is not your obligation. That's not your duty. That's for much higher up in the C-suite, right? CEO and so on. As an IT professional, your job is to report the facts, report them correctly, admit weaknesses where weaknesses existed, brag about your strengths. I have no problem with that. And let the facts be what they are. Let the people higher up in the company then do what they want with the facts. And of course, if you're ever told to act in a way that's outside of the law, well, quit, leave. Never do that.
Well, I think that's the right place to leave us. Brad, thanks for joining me today.
You're so welcome.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.